I mean, according to all the press, now you can believe that for what it is, comic shops are thriving right now, so...
I know some of them are. They're definitely... I mean, a lot of them are, I think, actually, if they're doing it right, right? I mean, they're having to spend a lot more money than I think they're comfortable with, mm-hmm. like the couple that I really know well. But it's coming back, right? Like, they're not, like, sinking money in the hope, which they are, you know, and the hope is selling, but their return is coming back, so...
Yeah, the books are selling, which is the key, because you don't want to just accumulate masses and masses of unsold books.
Right.
You don't need to fill that dollar bin.
Which is kind of annoying, too, because, like, I'm looking for some books, like, you know, that are modern, right? Just to fill in a couple cracks, and... Like, nobody's got them.
Because, I know. They're all selling out.
That's a great problem to
good
have.
Good for them, bad for the one who, like, I just need a issue 6 and yeah. 8. And
right. I'm looking for issue 23.
And, yeah, you go 23 pick them like nothing.
Of yeah. the Immortal Thor, and it's like, I can find 25, I can find, you know, 20, but, oh well, that's all right. It is what it is. But that's good. I mean, it's a good problem to have. I mean, I don't know what to compare it to, really, but the Stephanie Phillips era, these writers that are more accessible, mm-hmm. right? More social media, gaining a following, doing cool things like just going to stores and, you know, doing signings, which, I mean, they're getting paid for it, too. Don't get me wrong. But... Just that kind of level of access just seems more so now than it has been in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, what do I know? I'm just going to Trificon in 2 weeks.
Okay.
That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been doing any conventions?
The last one I did was absolute misery. It was a Fan Expo in Anaheim. And by Saturday, 30 exhibitors had just packed up and given in. They were like, I'm done.
No.
So when you see people on Saturday night just packing their stuff and leaving, you know that's a bad sign.
That's not good. Yeah, that's not good.
Because normally you think, okay, I just need a Sunday and I'm, you know, this close to breaking even. And everyone I talked to, best case scenario, they broke even. No one I talked to made a profit. And most people walked away in a negative of some sort because it was still $30 a day to park on top of everything.
Yeah. That's what needs to be addressed. Like, I have that same problem. And my situation's a little bit different because I only have one comic, right? I have one comic book to sell, some prints, you know, some cards maybe. But like, I don't have a lot to sell.
Yeah.
Mostly we're there to advertise the podcast, you know, network. You know, like we drove to Jacksonville, Florida 2 weekends ago for a 1 day comic show, which 1 day is the way to go, I think.
Well, yeah, those are the best lately.
You know, yeah, it was a drive and a hotel, 2 nights in a hotel and, you know, whatever. I don't mind the drive. That's easy. 6 hours away.
Okay.
But, you know, we didn't sell but like 3 books.
Oh, damn.
You know, and, so profit wise, it was horrible.
Yeah.
But networking wise, it was amazing.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I just gotta figure out the victories you can get.
Right? I just got to figure out how to get the networking to pay some bills.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the tricky part. It's like, okay, it's great. You get some connections and one day they may pay dividends. But right now you're like, I just lost this much money. And yeah, like the Fan Expo, I walked away. You know, I got a couple good connections, but I lost around $100 and I'm not in it to lose $100. I mean, I made my table back, which is more than I can say for some of my neighbors, but I got to look at parking. I got to look at gas, especially now with gas prices being so, so high. That's a big factor. But I mean, I've been signing up for a lot of the smaller ones that are local, so I don't need a hotel or anything. And then I'm going to be down in San Diego, but not for anything besides I have a panel that I'm going to be a part of on Friday. And then it's just the networking and just having fun, just enjoying the con for what it is.
Right. Now, how far is that for you? It's a ways, isn't it?
90 minutes. So it's not too far.
Okay. No, you're in the LA area then.
Inland Empire, so
okay,
like east of LA, but yeah, it's actually an easier drive down to San Diego than it is to LA half the time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to California in 30 years, but 28 years, but one day I'll make it back there. We're going to Terrificon in Connecticut, which is going to be a drive. It's like an 11-hour drive for us.
Wow.
And we got to drive through New York City, so that'll be fun. My kid's never seen New York City, so that'll be cool. That'll actually be really fun then.
Yeah, she'll enjoy that.
We're going to stop at the Secret Stash in Jersey, so that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah.
And then go to TurfCon for a couple days. We're probably going to leave early on Sunday, unfortunately, only because the very next day is my daughter's first day of school.
Oh, dang.
Or I would stay, right? But like...
Yeah, she's got to be, you know, got to be awake.
She's got to be there. Yeah, so it's like, you know, am I going to leave at 6 o'clock at night and get home at 6 a.m? For hey, time to go to school. Drop her off right at school, way back to town. That'd be crazy. But so I'll probably leave maybe around noon on Sunday. I'll go for the first couple hours in the morning, which I'm sharing a table, which is awesome for the That way my table's not going to be empty, right?
True. It's not just a deserted table, because that some cons will blacklist you for that.
Right. Right. And I don't want that. So my table won't be deserted. We're just, it's only a decision about getting her to school.
Yeah.
You know, we live 11 hours away and getting her to school on the first day.
Yeah. And not
because they're throwing a zombie. Yeah. They're throwing a fit. If like, oh, you can't miss first day of school. You can, you know, we'll kick her out. I'm like, really?
Yeah, like, it's an idle threat, but working in the system, I know everything comes down to getting paid to have bodies in the room.
Yep. That's why they suspended my kid for missing or showing up late too many times or something last year, which was hilarious.
Like,
you're punishing. Who are you punishing? Like, because you get a day off of school.
It's all legality. They have to do it. I'm good friends with the person who's the head of attendance at our school, and she's like, I got to do this again. And it's nothing we like, but the state sends in sanctions, and if you don't do them the way they say, then they send one of their auditors in, and then it's worse for everyone.
Right.
But we don't suspend for that, because that's just dumb. They just, like, they'll fine parents for too many tardies. It's like, okay, if you have this many opportunities to fix it, if you come in with like five more tardies, then you're going to get a $300 fine. But we're talking the one that got a $300 fine that I know of, he was at like 85 tardies by Christmas. So the 85 and 7's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, right?
85 is negligence. 7 is wake up to your alarm. 85's
like, that's how many days you've been at school. That's every day.
I mean, pretty much. I think that kid was on time like 3 times.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're like, well, it's to punish the parent. You know, like if I had to take a day off of work, I'm like, well, I work from home. So I'm like, and I love spending time with my kids. So I'm like, this is no punishment at all. This is actually a benefit because I don't have to waste the 25 minutes, you know, there and back to pick her up and drop her off.
Yeah.
So, Ed, you're back. This is awesome. Well, you're not back. We're back seeing each other again because I got to be on your podcast.
You're on my show last time.
That's right. Now you're on my show. This is awesome. So this is a first. That was so much fun. Yours, I think, was the first one I did too of somebody else's show. So that was awesome. I've done a couple since then. They're so much fun.
They are
being on that side.
Yeah,
you know, and doing other people's podcasts and learning different, you know, things and the way that you guys do live. I've still yet to do live.
Okay.
I don't know. Just haven't done it yet. And this Riverside will do it because that's what I use, you know, Riverside to record. Yeah. It'll do live and I can like go to like YouTube and stuff. It'll go to YouTube, but it doesn't have like the overlays and the scene switching like StreamYard does, right?
Okay.
You can do it. They have some overlays they just put in. But like screen switching, I don't think it's coming. They're getting there, but I enjoy this so far, and I record and edit and keep all the stuff and make cool clips and stuff. But welcome back, man. What you been up to?
Man, for me, it's summer break, so I've been just writing as much as I possibly can. I look at every time summer break starts, or really any of the breaks as a teacher, I look at that as, okay, this isn't just lays around the house. I mean, granted, you do your fair share of that too, but I have a goal. Like, okay, when this summer ends, I will have completed 4 new scripts. So we got 2 weeks left of summer, and I finished 3 complete. And I have one that's about a third of the way done. So I feel confident I'm going to get those 4 done. And that's a goal that I set. And if my last week, I might be in the library every day. It really just, it comes down to now you're in crunch time. You're still going to finish this 4 script. Because once work gets started, I'm so busy that it's hard. Right. I mean, I squeeze in writing when I can. At that point, it's okay, half an hour before bed, wake up a little earlier and get a few, you know, get 45 minutes, an hour in, where now I can go dedicate 3-4 hours at a library or a Starbucks or something like that. And I've tried to do it in my office, but I find myself distracted. I'm like, oh, wait, think about this. And what about that? Oh, that sprinkler outside's busted and I got to go fix that. And my brain goes to all the little things I could be doing around the house. So I just get out of the house, which gets me out of that. Oh, fix this, do that. Because, yeah, there's always something waiting for me around the corner in the house. So if I get out of it, it's pure focus and then get back home. And, yeah, that sprinkler's still going to be there. It's still waiting for you. But if you're at home, I'll stop the writing, take a quick break, right. And I'm outside covered in mud. And it's like, wait, what did I do? I was supposed to just be getting up and taking a quick lap around the house and getting back to it.
Right. That's great. It's like we go through a phase, right? So, like, I moved my office to my mother's house just over a year ago, because she was having some health issues, and just I wanted to be closer to her, you know, throughout the day. And then I'd go home every night. Mm-hmm. And then, like, that progressed in January, I just decided to start staying here because she was having some falling issues.
Okay.
And, you know, I lived like 20 minutes away, but when you get that call at 2 a.m. that your mom's on the floor, right? Like, it's 2:30 a.m, you're driving, you know, 20 miles away. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to stay here. So I've been staying here. And that's been really awesome because having my office here and the podcast, doing the podcast here and everything, working here, it's been great. Help her, you know, being here. But then it's like, just like you said, I'm getting now to that point where I've got a pile of stuff here on my desk that, you know, projects, right? Like, I just started wanting to learn, teach myself how to draw. I think we may have talked about this when I was on your show.
Yeah.
I, you know, haven't drawn anything since high school. Mm. And I would draw buildings and stuff, and I was okay at that, but never like a person or a hand or a foot or you know, anything like that. So I've been playing with drawing, and I'm actually like just over halfway for doing a zine, which is really cool.
Nice.
But I'm finding that, like you just said, like, because I'm here and I'm trying to concentrate on it, I can't because I'll get called away to do something. So maybe taking that hour or two break, go to, you know, the coffee shop, have a coffee and do some drawing. Maybe that's my next step.
It works for me. It started when I was doing my master's degree, and my kids were very young and they didn't understand the concept of dad's in the office. He needs to concentrate. They're just knocking on the door like, Dad, why are you in there? Why don't you come out? Why aren't you going to come and play? So I realized I just didn't come home. If I came home to grab my computer, it's going to be the same thing. Like, why are you leaving? Because I think my oldest at that point was like 6 and the youngest was 2. And they did not get the concept of dad's not going to play with you because, you know, they're little. That's what they're looking for. So at that point, I talked to my wife. I said, I'm just going to bring my laptop to work. And I'm going to drive to Starbucks on the way home, and I'll come home at, you know, 6 o'clock at night, but be home and
be home for real.
And yeah, let's play with those toys. Let's interact. Let's, you know, enjoy that family time. Not, okay, I'm either in the office hearing the little pounding on the door, which just breaks your heart because all you want to do is open it and go play with 100%. Your children. And, you know, or you come home and they're like, but daddy, don't go. You just got home. So either way, it's just going to break your heart as you walk out the door. So I figure the best bet's just go leave work, go do whatever homework is required of the of this program and then come home, be present, be real. So yeah, that's what forced me to start doing it there. And now it's kind of a habit because I'm way too ADHD to focus in here knowing the things that need to be done.
No, that sounds perfect. And that's, you know, Annika and I do, you know, very similar. You know, when she's here, she, you know, I try to dedicate just doing stuff with her, or we'll go to the comic shop, or, you know, do our podcast.
Yeah.
You know, but I try not to do a whole lot of stuff while she's here to,
yeah,
you know, that I have to, you know, be concentrating on. Right. I mean, she's here now, but that's only because it's storming outside and they don't want to drive home yet. I was worried at, you know, like 30 minutes before we were about to record, I was eating dinner and power went out. And I'm like, no. Here we go. But it came right back on. So,
oh, good.
You know, it's just typical North Carolina weather. We get thunderstorms like every day. So,
okay.
Yeah, they just roll through. Sometimes you lose power for a few minutes, usually not more than like an hour, but it's annoying, like, if you're in the recording. So if it cuts out, that's why the thunderstorm.
Got it.
Which I haven't heard any thunder in a minute, so I think we're good, but I think it's rolled through now. Typical, very high humidity and, you know, thunderstorms.
Just, yeah.
It's part of our everyday summer life here. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Florida, too, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she's here because they don't want to drive through the rain, which I, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But no, that seems like great advice. I love that idea. I'm gonna try that. The other thing is I take my mom, you know, my stepdad to a bunch of doctor's appointments, and I've tried taking stuff with me to do. Never works. Never works. Don't know why.
Hospitals are generally not great for creativity. I mean, barring one book that I drafted completely in hospital, and that was my floaters book, but that's when I was dealing with eye surgeries, and it was just getting out the nervous energy. Otherwise, I've brought my writing pad to the hospitals, and I'm just sitting there getting nothing done and realizing, yeah, this isn't the place. It's not. Nothing's going to happen. And whatever you do write, you're probably just going to look at it and throw it away when you're finished.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that yet, throwing away stuff. Well, it's coming, though, I feel, because I've got like three other. One of the things that I'm trying is I don't have the disposable income to, you know, hire an artist right now to do my second book that I want to do.
Yeah.
So I was like, I wrote most of the script. But I was like, you know, I'm going to just turn it into a children's, like, chapter book for right now. And so I'm trying that. See, we'll see. I got about 12 pages in so far, so not too bad.
Cool.
We'll see if that works and if I can get that done. But then I started this drawing expedition of, like, I'm going to learn to draw. Mm-hmm. So who knows what will happen now. But I'm having a lot of fun doing that. That's been – because do you do any artwork yourself?
I don't. I don't have great skills. And I know you can learn to draw better, but I get frustrated because I have this vision in my mind and what comes out on the paper is just nothing near that. And I'm just like, what's wrong, hands? How can you not get the message that the brain is sending you? Because it's this beautiful vision in my mind and it just comes out looking as bad as, you know, one of my third graders would draw. And, you know, I'm just thinking, all right, I got to just stick with writing. I mean, I could learn the skill, and that's not to say I never would, but I just get so frustrated because I think it's one of those things that, you got to put in that 10,000 hours. You got to work, you got to build the skill. It doesn't start from zero. And I get frustrated because I want it now, you know, it's like, I want the magic shot to get me an immediate drawing hand that, you know, now here you go. You got Todd McFarlane level quality and you've been doing it for a week.
Right. Yeah. I like literally been doing it for about a week and I think it's okay. It's not, you know, it's probably for zine level, you know, black and white zine. Mm-hmm. It's probably a good solid 6. Right.
Okay.
And I think it's all right. But I was like, I've been wanting to do it. Telling myself I couldn't do it forever. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, I walk around conventions though. And it's like, there's people's artwork that I absolutely don't like. Right. It's like, I don't like this, but then it's like somebody else loves it. Right.
Yeah.
Like artwork is such a, you know, it's, there's somebody that's going to like my artwork. Mm-hmm. Right. There's going to be people that hate my artwork or think a third grader did it. Right.
Somewhere. Yeah.
somewhere you have your audience of an art, or, you know, a fan of your art. So mm-hmm. I just like, you know, hey, why not? I can, you know, worst case, I made a zine and it was a fun process. And, you know, it all started at that convention because it was a little slow because okay. it's Florida.
Yeah.
And we were in these, storms, like these afternoon storms. So like 5 o'clock rolls around and power gets knocked out in the convention center. So my daughter and I are just sitting there drawing.
Okay.
And something to pass the time. It was pretty fun. Right. While the power was out, it was pretty funny. But, you know, so we'll get there. We'll see what happens. She created one all on her own. So now I can't let her show me up. So you do all the writing. Tell us about your artist. How'd you find your artist?
My artist that works with me primarily for most of my books, I found him just on the internet. I was just doing a web search and it was just, you know, writer looking for artist. And it took me to this page, looked like an old school message board. And it was these artists putting posts up, and on these posts, they were putting links to their portfolios and things like that. And I just started scrolling through and kind of had an idea in mind of what I wanted the book to look like, because it's a story for Immortal Era, the one that I hired him for first. It goes back to the late 90s. That's when I first started writing the story, not as a comic script initially, more, it was going to be more of a novel at that point. And when I wrote it, comics looked a certain way. Granted, they look different, not to say better or worse, but the look has changed. So one of the things I was really looking for was someone who does traditional pencil and ink. And that way it would have that 90s aesthetic to it. So that was something that was important to me. And I mean, there's also, you have to think about your budget. What kind of budget do you have? And is this artist within the realm of affordability? Because you can find some that are cheaper and you're going to get what you pay for in the end. But I mean, I looked at him and said, I looked at his art style and thought he has the right vibe that I'm looking for. The price was in the range that I could afford. So at that point, he started doing character designs and things like that. And now we've been working together since 2018.
Awesome. Is that when number one came out?
2018? Issue one came out 2019, okay. But we started the very initial sketching characters and like building some of the different cityscapes that they were going to be in. We started that in 2018, and then the book came out in summer of 2019.
So you've been doing almost two a year now. That's crazy.
Yeah, I try to do two issues of Immortal Era a year and at least one of something else, because Immortal Era is about to hit issue 12. And then I have a side series, Corruptor, which is on two issues. And then Floaters, which was a one shot that now everybody wants a second one. So it'll be another standalone story in that one. So yeah, this will be, let me see, because that's book number 16 is what this one will be.
That's awesome. In 7 years, that's crazy. That's a lot of books.
Yeah.
For especially an indie, you know, for indie, that's a lot.
Yeah.
A year.
I try. And it gets tricky. I mean, some years it's easier than others to do three a year, but that's always my goal. And, you know, life gets in the way sometimes, but I try to keep it at least two new issues of Immortal Era a year, which means it's going to be a slow process, because you get those people, the wait for the trade people. I tell them each trade you're talking another 3 years before the new one comes out. It's not Marvel. I'm not going to have you one in six months. Right. I wish I could, but you know, I only have a certain amount of money allotted for the comic book every year. And when it's gone, it's gone. So my goal is three books. And the good thing with this year is we're doing issue 12 right now, which was a later start than I had wanted, but the colorist was busy, had to take her time. And you just don't rush the artist. If they, you know, you start rushing the artist, you start throwing these crazy deadlines at them, you're going to get more inferior work. So I told her, take your time. We launched it in June, but then what'll happen is as soon as this one closes, I'll have another new book, and then we'll have another new one by the end of the year. So we'll get our three, but they're just going to be kind of in a flurry.
Okay. So this is your first one this year.
It is. And it's
Awesome.
slower too because we're doing the floppy new issue and another collected trade.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the Kickstarter. I love the video. It was very good.
Yeah, my daughter does those for me. She does such a good job with these videos. She's done my last three, and I mean, she helps. I give her kind of the outline of what the story's going to be, and she's just right on top of it. So,
That's
yeah,
awesome.
she's good. She's in college for with getting an art degree, and she's able to put these things in her portfolio, which is great because she actually got approved for a pro badge at San Diego Comic-Con because of the work that
Yeah.
she's done for me. So, yeah,
Awesome.
so excited to get her that pro status because she's done thumbnails for a few of my YouTube videos. When I get a band on, when I'm getting a live interview with the band, I say, okay, I want a really good thumbnail for this. And she's done those. And yeah, they looked at it at San Diego. She does have a few actual work in different comic books that are not mine. And then she had the different thumbnails and videos she made. And yeah, they approved her as a pro. So that was a great thing this year.
That's I don't know what that gets her, but that sounds awesome. It sounds like it's a
It gets
cool.
you a free badge every year.
Okay,
So, and San
perfect.
Diego, a Comic-Con badge right now is $380. So that is a
Okay.
win in itself. And
Yeah.
it's not even just the $380. It's they're impossible to get. They sell out within an hour, and you know, people can't get all the days, but if you have a pro badge, you're guaranteed every single day, Wednesday through Sunday, and it's a free badge every year, and you just have to, every 3 years, you have to show that you've done more work,
Okay.
which is easy
That's
because
really cool.
she's got a dad in the industry, so she'll get more
There,
work.
right, there you go. Just keep working for dad. I get my daughter one of those one day if we ever want to go to San Diego, which I would love to go there one day,
But
but
yeah.
that's a bit we got approved for do you know what Galaxy Con? It
Yes.
floats around the country. I can assume it goes out to California. But we have Raleigh this week. Yeah, this weekend. We actually got approved for press passes, which was really cool because I
Nice.
applied last year and they denied us, which,
Okay.
I understand. We had just started like a couple months before,
Yeah.
so we had like nothing to show, right, in 2 months. And, but this year, we put in a lot of work. This is going to be like 135 episodes, 130. No, we did 135 last week. So,
Nice.
This will be like 137, somewhere around
Okay.
there. Plus got all the following, on socials and put out a comic book and been to conventions, got booths. So they were
Yeah.
like, yep, here you go. I was like,
Nice.
sweet. So we get to, that'll be a first for us this weekend, which is nice. It's local. We don't have to, it's 40 minutes away. So
Okay,
we
not
can
11 hours.
drive. Yeah. We can drive every night, come home. We're probably not even gonna go all 4 days. We'll probably go 2 of the days. The first day for sure. And then, maybe Saturday or something, because that'll be crowded and fun. Good footage, hopefully. But yeah, going back to like the whole convention thing we talked about is, I've been thinking a lot about that. It's, Artist Alley is usually a little cheaper. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like there should be something even cheaper, especially if you're not really selling much, because it's so hard to justify spending that money, on hotels and food and
It adds
gas,
up.
and it adds up so quick. And, but it's marketing too. So if you're going to be out there, you got to market, right?
Yeah, I did a lot of shows very early on when I just had the one book out. And that was, I didn't do any of the shows that would have required hotels or travel or anything.
Okay.
And then issue two came out in February 2020. And then COVID happened. And by the
There
time
were no shows.
all the regulations got lifted, I had five books out.
Oh,
So
wow.
I had a whole different way to sell books where you're not just going and trying to make your table on the back of one
Right.
floppy. Whereas now, I mean, still it was no, I didn't have a trade or anything, but I had five floppies out, and that does carry power because what you get, especially at the multi-day cons, was people would come in, you give them your pitch, they'll try an issue one, and if they enjoy it, you'll see them the next day to fill in those holes.
Heck yeah. That's amazing. And that's, you know, we bit off probably a little bit more than we could chew. I had disposable income, though. So, like, I had planned all this long before I, you know, knew I was getting laid off. Since we went to Michigan Memorial Day, we went to, you know, we've been all up and down the East Coast.
Yeah.
You know, at all these shows, which has been a lot of fun. We got one more, Terrificon, right? And then the rest are all local within an hour of us, so, or two. So it's like, okay, I can handle going and coming in the day. And, but yeah, so this is the last one we're going to do, you know, on the road per se, you know, till I get some disposable income.
That makes sense.
So give us the book pitch.
All right. So Immortal Era, it's a post-apocalyptic story that's set 200 years in the future in a world where everyone has gained immortality. So a mysterious event in the year 2000 caused the entire population of the world to become immortal, but not to gain any kind of powers or abilities. So they still age, they still get sick. One of my main characters in the story is a decapitated head who's forced to continue living on. So it centers on a group of heroes who are out trying to hunt down relics from the past that will give them a way to restore the natural life cycle and save humanity by killing them.
That's amazing. Yeah, I was reading through your Kickstarter, and I saw the decapitated guy that can't die.
Yeah.
Do you go into, because I haven't read them yet, but okay, do you go into what the event is, or not yet?
We do, actually. I kind of, in this story, the way I had originally written it as a novel, it was going to be a first person novel from the main character's point of view, the girl that we see on pretty much every cover. And when I wrote that, they discover right away what the reasoning behind immortality is, because I wanted to set forth kind of this big, almost fantasy level quest to reassemble the relics that need to be found so they can bring death back. So we kind of immediately we find out why, and then it's just now trying to bring everything together to restore death.
Love that. Immortal Air. It's a cool premise. You know, people always say I'd love to live forever, but like, do you really?
Would you? Yes.
Would you really want to live forever? So go into some of the conflict that they get into about this in the early issues.
Well, in the early issues, there's two levels of conflict that are going on. The first one is they're living in an underground society, which is where all the non-citizens of this world are forced to live. Citizens are given special microchips, but they only distribute about 12 of those a year, which I guess it's kind of a spoiler for issue 13, but that's all right. But there are the legal citizens, and they're allowed to be on the surface, and they kind of live these kind of, they're blinded to all the horrible of the world. The rest are down in this underground subway system, and they make homes and villages out there. But anyone with any level of resources is going to constantly face raids. So the first conflict that they have is just surviving each night, because people are going in. There's factions of cannibals they just want to eat them. Then there's these thieves who want to steal what they have, because they say, hey, you have better stuff than we do, we're coming in to take it. So the first struggle is just survival night to night, not ending up someone's dinner, not ending up completely, you know, torn apart. And you see heads on spikes all throughout this story, because that's what they'll do to you. It's like, all right, you'll live, but it's going to be a rough life. You're going to be stuck like this forever. And the other faction is there are the people who caused the immortality to happen, the ones that were the catalyst behind everything. They want it to stay the way that it is, because they've actually found a way to master immortality. When I say they don't have powers and abilities, that's for the general population of humanity. But there's this coven of witches who do have powers, and they're using relics, some of these relics, to give themselves power to stop aging, and every year get more and more strength and power. So they will do anything that they can to make sure immortality stays. So they, once we get into issue six, we're introduced to that coven and realize that they have a stake in this as well. And they're not going to let, they don't want this mission to succeed. And they're recruiting people all around them to make sure that they can't succeed with the quest.
That's phenomenal. I love that. People want it. That makes so much sense. Where did this story come from?
It started actually from when I was in college. I was an English lit major, and we read a little excerpt from Gulliver's Travels. And in it, he travels to this island where everybody's immortal and first thinks, oh, this is amazing. This is where I'm going to spend my days. I'll never die. But then he sees the people that are just haggardly and miserable because they're hundreds of years old, and quickly decides, okay, never mind. Immortality sucks. I'm going to leave this island. And, you know, it's just little 8 pages, but it got all my gears spinning. Because I started thinking, okay, I love this premise. I mean, we've seen immortality done a bunch of times, but rarely do you see people that are just countless hundreds of years old and just miserable. And I thought, okay, I like this, but now what do I turn it into that kind of fits my sensibilities? And that was making it into a big epic fantasy quest. And then also finding a solution. Because in Gulliver's Travels, he doesn't care about the solution. He just leaves the island. But in my mind, it was kind of, what would they do to fix it? What would they go to every length possible if they actually found a way to fix it? Would they do it? And what would the cost be? And that's kind of where this started. And my notes, earliest notes, go all the way back to 1998. So that's why you got a little bit of like Y2K hysteria thrown in there, because that was the times. I mean, it was, oh, all your computers are going to crash. Airplanes are going to fall from the sky. And I thought, I'm going to make this cataclysmic event all happen at the millennium. So it's like, what if all that stuff you predicted was wrong, but it was something actually worse?
Something else. Right. That was a fun time. Man, I was a senior in high school that year. So 99 to 2000. And man, we remember like, leading up to it that year, it's like, we're never going to graduate high school. The world's going to end, you know?
All our records are gone.
Right. You know, we would like play with the computers at school and like force the time clocks forward to like see what would happen if the computer would die. Like, we did all kinds of stupid stuff. And then I flew, of course, as an idiot, I flew out to Oklahoma that Christmas break, to spend, because my brother lived out there.
Okay.
And so I spent like the day after Christmas, I flew out there and then came home like the 3rd of January. I was like, 'cause I might just get stuck out there. I'll see y'all never, 'cause planes are going to fall out of the sky. But that didn't happen. I flew home and everything was fine. And man, the amount of money that was made off. I had a friend of mine whose father worked in like New York City, but what his job was like Y2K proofing your companies.
That's a short-lived job right there.
Right.
Exactly. Like January, the 90s. You're unemployed.
Yeah. January 2nd come around, everybody's like, well,
I guess we're all right. Thanks.
We did a great job. We Y2K. We did it.
We succeeded now.
I don't know what we're doing now, but. Yeah. Oh, sorry. You just brought that up, and I just remembered all those fun stories of PNC.
Yeah, that's kind of where I had to throw that into the story, even though it's so dated now, and so a lot of the readers of the book weren't there to witness how crazed people were. Some people, like, I just figured whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Apocalypse, let's go. And then other people were just freaking out, like practically hiding out in their house that New Year's Eve. Yeah, it's just, it was so crazy. And it's such a time capsule, because, I mean, I guess we'd have to live a lot more years for that to even have a chance of happening.
Right. 20, well, yeah, I don't even know. 2100? Yeah, like
the year 3000.
Yeah, 3000.
Oh, then we have an opportunity. Yeah, but I won't be here to worry about it unless my book comes true.
I'm starting a company right now. Y3K, your protection.
Get ready. Prevention starts early.
Yep, I'm starting that company right now. Y3K. Just see, you just helped me figure out what I'm doing with my life.
There you go.
it's preparing you 975 years into the future, but you know, hey, never can start too early.
Exactly. It pays to think ahead.
Oh, that's fantastic. My poor daughter, my oldest daughter, was born in 2001, so she don't even get that joke, you know? But
no.
Yeah, I had a kid when I was stupid young, 19, but that's okay. Here we are. She's 25 now. It's crazy. She's older, which the funniest part about that has nothing to do with comics or this podcast, but she's 5 years older than I was when I had her, which is just a weird feeling.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I have, you know, Annika, my co-host,
yes,
my 11-year-old, so she's awesome. But I've got some fun questions, but is there anything else? Like, obviously, I'm going to have your links below. Mm-hmm. You know, go check out the Kickstarter. We got, when this releases, it'll have about a week left. You're at, 13 days left?
Yeah.
Yeah, 13 days to go as of this recording. If I look at my calendar, yeah, it'll release probably the 28th, so you'll have about 7 days to go. Seven days to go.
Cool.
So people, make sure you go check out the Immortal Air, and I'll put a graphic up and links and all that, for number 12 and the volume 2. So I'm assuming we can get volume 1 and 2?
Yeah, I have catch up on physical. Perfect. Or on digital. So if you needed volume 1, you can get that. If you need just volume 2, you can get that. And if you've been collecting the floppies all along, you can just get your issue 12, because I have all forms of collectors. You have the ones that they just want the floppies, or they want the foils, or whatever it is. So it's all covered in this one. And then for a while after this, for the next 6 issues, it'll just be the new floppies.
Okay. And how many issues total do you think the run's going to be?
Thinking it's going to be about 24.
Okay.
So
we're about halfway through.
Yeah. We're hitting the halfway point, and I'm looking at what needs to be done to close it out, and it might end up being 27 or something like that. I might do another little 3-issue arc, but we'll see. Cause I also like to do side stories. Like, we got one of the main characters' full backstory in issue 9. So it was not, the quest was kind of on pause, so we could find out what got him into the underground where he's at now. And then from there, keep the story moving. So each arc will have kind of a pause moment where we fill in backstory, but the backstory also answers a lot of lore questions that people wonder about as we go along.
That's so much fun. Like, I'm having so much fun doing, like, because I created this whole universe, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Panel Pete, you know, this.
Yeah.
You got a copy. I'm assuming. I hope you got it. I mailed it to you.
I got it. It's going to be my classroom when we go back.
Awesome. You know, but it's a fun, you know, anti-bullying story. Mm-hmm. But then, like, the lunch ladies just, like, stuck out to us, right? And so my artist, well, my daughter started this, actually. I handed her, we were at a convention, and she saw a zine, and mm-hmm. I got it for her. Maybe the lady gave it to us, I don't remember. But we came home, she's like, how did they make that? So I was like, I don't know. I took the piece of paper, looked it up, figured out how to fold it, handed her a blank one. She ran to the other room. 2 hours later, she comes back. She's like, here you go. Got to finish zine. I'm like, what? Like, 2 hours? Like, what? Like, okay. And she, you know, drew it, wrote it, whatever. I'm like, okay, this is cool. And so it inspired me to want to do one. Mm-hmm. So, but then she did that. And it's like, that's like its own little story within the same universe. The lunch lady's such a fun character. My artist and I, like, come up with this whole backstory of, like, who the lunch lady actually is. Like, she's like a John Wick assassin at night that comes out and, like, you know, serves food during the day. Mm-hmm. And so he did a scene just on that, or based off that. And there's, like, more we could do with that. And then I'm writing one, which is like the, or like, who is Panel Pete, right? And just a little backstory of who he is and how he, because I got not yelled at, but feedback I got from the comic book was they were a little confused on who he actually was. Like, so I was like, okay, you know, like, he's, one of my friends was like, you need to have, like, you should have, like, a text box, you know, a description box, you know, like, first page or so, just saying who he was, where he kind of, where he come from, like, what he is. And I was like, okay, so that's gonna be my zine.
Okay.
Is basically, who is Panel Pete?
Cool.
And gonna show him throughout history, which has been a lot of fun to draw. So what this whole learning to draw thing.
Yeah.
And when I can figure, like you said, I have exactly, I felt that so vividly when you said earlier, like, I know what it wants to look like in my head,
yeah,
but my hand is a different story.
What's going on here?
Right.
I'm sending
these two don't talk
to you directly. Right. Your problem.
I thought you were connected through my brain. Yeah. Right. But, you know, it's funny. I just got to have some real artists like take my pencils here and teach them really how to draw. That's the problem. They don't know how to draw yet. Story I'm sticking with. But it's just the whole universe, right? Like, and then I'm writing this origin story, right? That's the next book I really want to do, is like the origin story, which is like page one of my zine, but like,
yeah,
the whole gonna be like, I want to write a whole book about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just having so much fun with like just endless possibilities you can do in these universes, you know, and the amount of side quests and side stories and this and that. You know, it's amazing. I love it. And yeah, I love hearing that you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Before we jump into my fun questions, I always like to ask if there's anything that we haven't covered that you want to cover. I don't want to miss anything, right?
No, I think we're good. Yeah, just,
oh, okay.
You know,
I just don't want to be like, oh, we never talked about, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah.
I wish you would ask me this. You know, I always just like to ask that just to make sure, you know, we don't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's a couple fun questions. Do you remember who your first like comic character or superhero you fell in love with was?
It would have been Spider-Man to start. First comic that I got was a collected version of Amazing Fantasy and like the first four issues of Spider-Man, something like that, and got it at a swap meet, and it's what hooked me in.
That's all. That was my next question, was your first comic book. So there you go. A collected edition of ASM. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I haven't read a lot of the early Spider-Man. I am currently reading, as you can kind of see, all this Thor omnibuses.
Nice.
I set on this journey to read one Thor a day.
Okay.
And I started, you know, with Journey into Mystery 83, you know, and I started reading issue 300, but it was like a huge issue and I fell asleep last night. So I got to finish issue 300 from last night
mm-hmm.
and 301 today, hopefully. That's my goal when I'm done here,
yeah,
is finish those. But I just really love reading those old stories. But like, mm-hmm. you get that, those tie-ins of like the Avengers or the Eternals or, you know, and it's just, man, it's so cool reading the old stuff.
Yeah.
I do miss reading the new stuff, too. I get on this kick where it's the only thing I read for a couple of weeks. And I'm like, wait a minute, there's other comics I can read. Pick out, you know, this pile beside me, like six long boxes now. It's crazy. But, you know, it never ends, which I love. Never ending content.
Yes.
Do you have a current favorite series? Speaking of which.
As far as current series go, I think I've been enjoying The Absolute Batman. I don't hit the local comic shop as much as I should. And that's kind of, I generally, when I go to the comic shop, I'll try out a lot of issue ones, see what it looks like. And then if I like it, then I wait for the trade, even though it kills me when people do it to me. It's like, well, I do the same thing, but I guess the difference is I'm not waiting you're not waiting 3 years to let the story be moving to its next step. But yeah, I've been enjoying that one, and
months,
the Wonder Woman, actually the Absolute Wonder Woman as well. Both have been really good.
So I read Wonder Woman and Absolute Wonder Woman, Absolute Batman, Dick Tracy,
okay,
and Battle Beast, or like the, oh, and my favorite's the Deadly Tales of the Gunslinger Spawn. It started last year. It's been great so far. It's probably my favorite. But I do the same thing. Like, I like those single issues. And again, you know, had to kind of scale back.
Yeah.
You lose your disposable income. I started buying, I'm still getting some, like, those, like, core, like, 6-8 issues I'll get every, you know, month. But then I started buying a couple trades, like the Superman I got in trades.
Yeah.
And a couple others. But I've been trying to, like, I don't know that I could wait for a trade like with Absolute Batman. Like, I couldn't do it.
I need to get caught up, but that kind of goes back to what we were talking about is you go in and you it's harder to find those back issues.
Oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
Especially with Absolute Batman, they've gone up in price so much. Yep. And I don't want to drop $30 for a back issue. So I'll wait for the trade. And then my hope is that I can wait for the trade and then start buying it monthly so that when I get caught up with that trade, I have the next arc ready to go. Because I finished volume one. I'm like, oh, let me go try to find the pieces before volume two comes out. Because it's even though they're releasing a book a month, it's not every 6 months you get the trade. You still got to wait.
Right. A couple more months.
And I thought, yeah, I'll just start, you know, from issue 7 and up. And oh my gosh, forget it. I'm not paying that kind of price because, oh, it's the first appearance of Absolute Bane or Absolute Joker or whatever. And now it's going for $30 to $50. And yeah, I'll wait for the trade.
Yeah. Luckily, I've had it on my pull list. So I think since issue three, okay. I have first prints from 3 on.
Oh, nice.
1 and 2, I had, because that's just when I decided to get into it, I guess. 1 and 2, I have like third or fourth printing. Okay. So, you know, issues. But, and I should have bought the friggin' first printing then because it was only like $20. I'm like, $20? You're stupid. Yeah. Like, I'm not paying $20 for a first appearance or first, you know, printing of Absolute Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's, you know, $400. Like, okay, I should have bought 10 of them, but, I'm not a speculative
person
like that. Yeah. I was like, you know, I just added it to my pull list then, you know, so I just been getting the first printing ever since then, which helps. Definitely use a pull list, people. It helps a lot, and it helps the publishers out too, especially for indie comics like Invader, like, you know, T.S. Luther stuff, like, you know, knock on wood, you know, Invader's been pretty cool to be able to get their stuff on a pull list now, and it definitely helps those guys, and it helps your shop too, like, tremendously, because, like, they have to be on speculation. Like, how many, you know, mainline Wonder Woman are they buying right now? Like, without a pull list, 1, 2 maybe, like, you know, if you're lucky. So help your shops out.
Yes.
All right. So this used to be split up into 3 separate questions, but somebody not forced me, but somehow it ended up becoming 1 question and it became more fun. So it's 3-part question, or it's 3-choice question. If you could live in any comic book universe, that's part 1, have any superpower, part 2, and have any kind of any character in any universe and anywhere that doesn't have to be a sidekick, be your sidekick, what would you choose?
Let's see. If I'm living in a universe, it's like every comic universe is pretty awful some different ways. Right. So it's, you know, I guess if you could live kind of on the fringe of the Marvel universe, like, I don't want to live in New York because things, stuff's always going down and I don't need to be there for that. But I, like, you just live like, I'm living in my same house right now in a world where superheroes exist and they're generally not coming into the suburbs. They don't need to handle all the crimes in the big city. But I know, okay, if something's going down, someone could be there. Like, we had all those stupid wildfires like every year, basically. Well, Superman could have come and just blown them out real quick and then fly right back to Metropolis and do your thing and all is back to normal. Or I guess in the Marvel universe, like Captain Marvel could come down and out somehow. So it's like, all right, you can put out the natural disasters and get back to the normal life. So I like that. And then, like, superpower, I love super speed. I want to, like, run around the country and just see everything. So get, like, flash powers. I don't need to fly, just let me race around. Of course, not you look at, like, the Boys, the consequences to all these superpowers, like, and if it's like the Boys, I don't want any superpower. I don't want to live I don't want to live in a universe with superpowers. Just, you know, throw me on a moon colony somewhere. But yeah, then what was the third one?
A sidekick.
Yeah, let me see.
I'll be a main character. Be a side. Your sidekick.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, just throw me Superman as a sidekick, because then I got all the problems solved. Like, all right. Don't have to worry about anything. Like, Superman, I don't I need to get to work fast, like within 30 seconds. I don't have to wake up quite as early. He just drops, you know, drops me down to work every day. So, yeah, he's going to hate being a butler, but I'm here for it.
The kids would love it, though.
Yeah.
Superman dropping you off at school every day. You'd be the coolest teacher ever.
Yes. Discipline would never be a problem. He'd be like, don't make me call my friend.
Yeah, don't make me call Superman in here.
Yeah, I will bring him down here, and he will talk to you outside.
Right. Superman, Crypto ate my homework. Oh, man. What do you teach? You said third grade, so you're teach all the subjects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's very cool. I don't miss third grade. All right, this is my favorite question. If your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
Man. Chaos Incorporated.
Chaos Incorporated. I like that. I like that. And then, like, if I ever have you back on, which I'm sure I will when you do your next book, you could do a pop in with my daughter and I on our Thursday show.
Yeah.
Our Thursdays when we record. Actually, I think we're moving that to Wednesday this coming up because just our work schedules. I used to pick her up every Tuesday and Thursday from school, but I think it's now every Tuesday and Wednesday I have to pick her up from school. So. And then, so we used to wait till Thursday to go to the comic shop because it's just the day I picked her up from school. We go to the comic shop and then come home and record our episode.
Yeah.
But this year, I think I'm going to have to get her Tuesday and Wednesday.
Mm.
So we'll actually be able to do it on New Comic Book Day, which will be cool. We won't be a day late.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. But so now we'll have people. Normally, what I do is people that have been on the show before, when they want to come back on, when they have something to come out or just come hang out, whatever, I let them do like the pop in show with just me and my daughter, so they can just come in on that show.
Yeah.
Normally, first time, I don't. Sometimes my daughter will join, depends who it is, if she's in the mood. Like, I don't force her. I force her to do like the one show a week, which I don't really have to force her to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm trying not to do like more than that. Like, if she wants to be on. Sure. So, and it's funny. I'll get some guests that's got like the darkest horror book, like adult content. And I'm like, yeah, you don't need to be on this. She's like, I want to be on it. I'm like, of course you do. Like, of course that's the one you want to be on. But the other funny thing I was going to tell you is, you know, when I asked that, you know, which comic book universe you'd want to live in, some of the funny answers I get, you know, Stephanie Phillips, she's like, I want to live in Garfield. I was like, that's fantastic.
Why not?
She's like, just have a giant cat that eats lasagna. Like, nothing bad's happening in that world.
Yeah, true.
Another person said, like, peanut universe, you know, like, you know, worst thing that's happening is Susie, you know, removes the football before you kick it. She's like, he's like, well, we'll just live in that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could have said the Archie universe before they started writing all the dark Archie stuff. And now,
yeah, Archie's like, now
it's like a zombie apocalypse universe with evil witches lurking around. It's like, all right, where it's not that fun, you know, oh, someone's bullying Jughead. Like, nope, Jughead's now a zombie.
That's funny. Ed, tell people where to get your work. Obviously, go to the Kickstarter, but when the Kickstarter is over, where do people get your work?
All my social media is under Finish Line Comics. So I have Instagram, I have TikTok, I have a YouTube channel, and then finishlinecomics.com. That's my website, and that has a web store where you can find all the different books that are out right now. And when this Kickstarter closes, I'll put up issue 12 and volume 2 into the web store.
Awesome. I'm making sure I'm following you on. I'm not, because I only know you as Edward Davis on Facebook. So
yeah.
Do I need to cut that? Sorry.
Nope, you're good.
Okay. Just making sure. Yeah, well, I'm following you now on Finish Line Comics.
Awesome.
I think, did I do that right? Yeah. It's Finish Line C_omics. Is that right?
Nope. That's Instagram that imposters. You. It's just all finished one
You've
word.
Got imposters. That's amazing.
Oh, it's insane. I report them every single week, and more pop up, and Instagram
really
constantly tells me that they're not in violation of any policies, despite the fact that they are using my my material and my copyrighted images on their kicks or on their Instagram. So yeah,
there's a bunch of them. Holy cow.
There are so many. It drives me crazy. So yes, please just
at Finish Line Comics.
No dashes, no underscores, no breaks.
I am following you.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'll make sure to, I am following you on there, which is cool. I will make sure to, I have the right one.
Yeah, it's crazy that I have that many imposters. My accounts, it's not like I'm some influencer who's out there, you know, in telling the masses what they should buy. I just try to put some images of my comic book up and I type in Finish Line Comics at any time and it's just countless ones. And I report every single one and they're like, nope, they're not violating anything. And getting a human at Meta, forget it.
Oh, yeah, it's impossible.
You will not ever get a human. You just get an AI bot saying, oh, they're not in violation of anything because there's no pornography on it. So let it go.
I lost my whole Facebook about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like somebody hacked it, changed password, changed phone number.
Yep.
So like none of the stuff came to me like to reset your password.
Yeah.
And like there was nothing. Like I tried for weeks to get my Facebook in it, you know, I just had to start a new one.
You will never get a human. And I got that. Yeah. I got that. I got hacked and they turned it into a new account and they were running all these ads for jeggings. And now anytime I want to run an ad, like for this Kickstarter, I would love to run ads on Facebook and they go, sorry, your account is delinquent. They say I owe $300 for all of ads that were run when my account got hacked. And of course, if you had a human with any area, you could contact one. You could tell them, look, my account got hacked. You see that, you know, I had to get it restored and all these different things. I just want to run ads, take my money, but I'm not paying you $300 to do that. Cause I don't know if I'd see $300 of actual movement, maybe total, you might get $300, but you know, it's when you have to pay that and then pay for the ad, it just kills me. Cause yeah, I didn't run the ads. My account had been taken over, and yet they don't care. They're like, nope, delinquent account. You can't run ads.
That's insane. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's social media is great in some ways, but horrible in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, God forbid you have any legitimate problems, it's impossible to get anything done. And it's very sad. Because like I said, I lost everything, you know, I had a Facebook from like 2007 or eight or something like that. And then 4 years ago, you know, I guess 2022, you know, so 15 years of Facebook just gone, you know, and pictures and all that stuff.
That's the thing that kills is I have pictures from when my first daughter was born in 2006 and on. And yeah, I mean, luckily they were able to get it back, but I had to go through all these different ways. And there was a whole support group on Reddit for people who had their account taken over and changed into the same name. I forget the name now, but every one of us got hacked and changed to the same exact name. So it was like the Reddit support group. And they were saying, try this, try this, try this. And eventually after like the 15th thing that someone suggested, it worked and they got everything restored. But they won't get rid of the fact of saying that I have a delinquent account. So I'm still stuck with that.
No way to dispute it either, I'm sure.
No, I've sent them emails after emails and nothing.
It's so sad. But, well, I will make sure to put the correct one up there.
Yes.
Finish Line Comics. And do you have a Facebook page, TikTok, all that stuff? Okay,
yeah,
I'll make sure.
All that's under Finish Line Comics. The perfect. YouTube is... It's like Finish Line Comics Gym 6 or something like that. I wish it was just straight, but if you type in Finish Line Comics and
it'll come up
in YouTube, you should get that. I mean,
I've
done enough shows. I would hope so.
Right. Yeah. You've been on there for a while. So how many shows have you done now? Because you're doing like 3 shows a week, aren't you?
I do 2 a week every week. And then I do some like fill in ones. But yeah, 2 every single week, no matter what. And that's my music show on Wednesdays and then the Saturday morning comic talk. I mean, I should probably just change it to Saturday morning creator talk because I've had musicians on. I've had other types of creators. But it, you know, I stick with the name. And that one, Honestly, I haven't counted, but we're probably around 200. I got to go and number them all, but I want to go and kind of make clips and things like that. I need to do more because that's where my kids say it's failing. It's like you have content that people would find entertaining, but they don't know where to go and they don't want to search through 200 episodes that are, you know, 2 hours each to find the nuggets of good stuff that's in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to do a reel a day, whether it's from the podcast or drawing or, you know, something. I do at least one post a day on all the things. And we do two shows a week, sometimes more, sometimes three, sometimes four. But usually guaranteed two a week and a reel a day and whatever else we can, you know, find out. Well, Ed, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate it. Yeah, go check out the Kickstarter, finishlinecomics.com, and all the socials, Finish Line Comics. Make sure you're on the right one. It's one with the most followers. Don't go to those imposters.
Yes, please.
And hey, man, thanks for being with us. And love to have you back sometime.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Talking Comics Podcast, powered by Aquadio Media, helping creators make waves.